Thank you, my friend. Well, it's good to be back. I missed you guys. Can you believe that? I really did. I missed being here. It was a long drive. I forgot how long that drive is, but it was enjoyable. It's good to be back in a tough situation. That was a first for me. I've never done a funeral or a wedding for someone and then had to do a funeral, so that was a difficult time. But I just want to reiterate again, we really appreciate you guys praying for us while we were away and ministering to the family and just spending some time with them. Thank you for allowing me to be away for that time. We're gonna shortly, within the next couple of weeks, maybe next week, maybe the week after, but we're gonna finish up our series on the building blocks to healthy relationships. So we've been talking about that for a couple months. We've been working through three different blocks, and of course, we talk about that life really comes down to relationship. Right? Life comes down to relationship, and relationships are the toughest thing that we do here on planet Earth. They can be really, really good, and they can be really, really difficult. They can go sour. They can bring such joy to my life, right? But relationships are really tough things. And so the question God asked to Jesus, Lord, what is the greatest commandment? And Jesus said to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself, right? Love others as you love yourself. And so we're looking at those three blocks that we've been looking at together. So we looked at the foundation about loving God. We talked about relationship before rules, learning what it means to be in Christ, our weakness for his strength. We talked about spending time with Jesus, and then we looked at the next block, loving neighbor, loving others, and we talked about our spiritual needs. We talked about forgiveness, underground communication inside out, and then we're on the third block now, which is talking about loving yourself. And we talked about the three selves last time, and I just kind of wanted to highlight that again because I feel like it's been a few weeks. We had a few weeks because we had Easter there. And so I want to just kind of talk about loving yourself, because in counseling and having the privilege of meeting with people and meeting with people all around the world, but just having the privilege of people coming to talk with you and meet with you, you will quickly discover that there are many people who don't like themselves. And I'm sure, is anybody at some point on their journey? Yeah, I just don't like me, right? Yeah. And I remember waking up, I was in BC at the time, we're living in BC, and I was getting ready in the morning, and we had these really bright light bulbs, and so I could see myself really good in the mirror. And I looked at myself and I said, man, I'm tired of myself. I'm just tired of me. How I think about me, how I feel about me. I'm just got tired of me. And as I've been able to, like I said, meet with people, I just found that lots of people just don't like themselves. But we forget about that third part, love others as yourself. And so we're talking about what is the self to love, because the Bible talks about three different selves. There's a self to kill, there's a self to deny, and there's a self to love, right? So in Galatians 2:20, it says, I have been crucified with Christ. So what happens to something that's crucified? Yeah, it's killed, right? It's gone. So in Galatians 2:20, we read about that. So that is the self to kill. So last time I was with you, we looked at these things here. We looked at the three different selves. And so I'm just going to kind of briefly just kind of go over them, because we spent a Sunday on them already. But this is the self that needs to be destroyed, the self to kill. The old man, the Bible uses, the old nature, the old life, or the old identity, right? The person who does not have Christ in them, okay? So this is the person who's living hell on earth every day, and he's going to hell according to the scriptures, okay? So he will express a condition that the Bible calls flesh, okay? So meaning the opposite of the spirit, okay? Paul says there's two ways you can walk. You can walk in the flesh, or you can walk in the spirit, right? And the fruit of the spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Good, very good, church. Everybody was with me in that. So the fruits of the flesh are all the opposite of that, right? All the opposite of that. And so we will express flesh if we do not have Christ in us. Okay, we got that? We're clear on that? So the source from which we're working from within us makes a big deal. For example, I can use a hammer to build an old widow a home, couldn't I? But I could also use that hammer to kill her, right? It depends on the source by which it's going to be used, right? And so what the source we're working from within us, right, is a big deal, isn't it? It's a very, very big deal. So we want to be under the control and the influence of God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit. We don't want to be under the control and the influence of sinful flesh, as it says. So this self, number one, he may have the God-given ability to start a business, and he might have a natural talent to do so, but being under the control of the old nature, his talents and his abilities that were actually created to express God instead reveal a condition called flesh. And now he may end up opening a chain of XXX adult video stores, for example. He has distorted God's gift of the unique self, the unique you, and he's used it for sin, pleasure, and his own purpose. So what's God's command? What do I do with that self, number one? Well, Galatians 2:20, the source that is driving the number one self must die, but not the actual unique self, but the source, right? So therefore, Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. Therefore, this is the I that no longer lives, but Christ now lives his life in through me. So the command for this self, number one, is it must be crucified. It must be killed. And then we talked about self, number two, okay? This is the Christian living out of the flesh, okay? The Christian can still have he can still live out of the flesh. He can still operate out of that source. Now, he is going to go to heaven because he has Christ alive in him, but he's living in a daily hell because we are to walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh, right? So the sinful flesh, it drives this guy crazy. He might use all the God-given talent and abilities to start a business or a ministry, but it will be for his own glory, for his own financial security, and his own use, right? It's a little bit sneaky, that one, isn't it? Right? Again, it's not what you do, but why you do it, right? We stand or fall not in the what, but the why. So the command for this guy, which we talked about, is to deny self daily. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. He says, deny yourself daily, pick up your cross, and follow me. This is the self that needs to be denied. Deny self daily by the power and the work that Jesus accomplished on the cross once and for all eternity. Amen. Amen. This Christian is frustrated because he's trying to live the Christian life out of his own power, out of his own resources. He's not filtering his life through the Holy Spirit. He's doing it through the power of his thinking, his feeling, and his choosing to do. And if you want to discover more of that, go into deeper detail, book a meeting with me. I would love to talk with you more about that. There's so much more to say, but I have so little time. Okay? He's frustrated because he can't do it. He's working hard. This Christian is working so hard. And he's like, man, this doesn't work. This Christian life doesn't work. But he has the wrong definition to the Christian life. He has yet to discover the power of the Holy Spirit in him and letting him filter it through, right? Remember the story of the boy in the waterfall I told you about, remember? He thought he could take it back to his mom. He put that water, reached over and grabbed the waterfall and tightened the jar, brought it home to his mom. Mom, look, because she was working and she couldn't come. And he took off the jar and nothing happened. And mom's like, what's wrong? Well, he said, I wanted to show you the power and the immensity of the waterfall, but there was no sound, there was no noise, it didn't do anything. And her mom, in all of her wisdom, said, oh, sweetie, you need to understand. When you remove something out of its source, it loses all of its power, right? And if the Christian isn't working out of his source, the Holy Spirit, he loses all of his power. Amen? Right? We need him. So the command for this self is to deny the fleshly life, right? To deny it. Pick up your cross. And I like how Luke is the one who only says daily. It's a daily thing, right? For me, it's almost a moment-by-moment thing. It's more than daily. It's not carpe diem, it's carpe momentum, or whatever the Latin word is for moment, right? But moment by moment, I need to deny myself, pick up my cross, and follow me. A lot of Christians are still living out of here, and that's why we have a lot of Christians who aren't experiencing victory. And we have victory in Christ, right? We do, right? Even when things are going wrong, you have that peace because you know he has a plan, right? My God has a plan, and I trust his plan. Then there's self number three. This is the self to love. Love your neighbor as yourself. This is the guy. So he, let's look at this guy, right? He enters into the fullness of his being. The fullness of how he was always created to be. Man was always meant to run with Christ, right? Because without him, do we run properly? No, we don't. We don't. We're always meant. So he enters into the fullness of a being. All his God-given talents, abilities, intellect, personality, and temperament, they function as they should and produces a condition called walking in the Spirit. Whatever he does, Christ does through him, right? Do you remember... I don't know if I shared this with you, but I remember I was reading in John chapter 6 one day. I was down in Mississippi, and we were doing some conferences and stuff down there. And I remember I was sitting reading the Bible, and I came across where, I won't say the full thing, honey. I won't tell you where I was sitting, where I was reading the Bible. So anyways, so I was reading this. Tracy's didn't know, hon, no. Anyways, I was reading this scripture, and it says twice in that same chapter, Jesus says, "By myself I can do nothing." And I remember reading that, and I jumped off where I was, and I went out and I said, "Have you ever seen this before?" I couldn't believe it. Jesus, the man who did everything, says he did nothing. He only did what he said my Father did through me. Do you know all your rewards in heaven will be based upon what you never did, but what he did through you? By myself, I can do nothing. This person here, this is the self to love because it's your truest self, right? The Spirit is the deepest core of who you are. It's the deepest core of who you are. That's where we should be finding our identity because that's who we are. A lot of people find their identity in their bodies, how I look. I no longer do that anymore. It's easier for me today. But lots of people, North America, Hollywood, right, how you look. That's how I'm going to identify myself. Lots of people, right, they'll find their identity in how they think, being smart, being intellect, right, how they feel or what they do. Right? My will is my ability to choose to do, right? So my accomplishments, I find my identity in my accomplishments, my successes. But Jesus wants us to go deeper than all of that. And he wants us to find our identity out of the Spirit. That is the truest nature of who we are as believers. Amen? That's who we identify now. We identify with him. So this guy's walking in the Spirit. Whatever he does, Christ does through him. There's no distinguish between spiritual work and secular work for him because everything he recognizes is spiritual and of Christ through him. Doesn't matter what type of task, menial, it doesn't matter. This guy could sweep streets for a living if he wanted to because what he does doesn't bring his identity. It's whatever Christ wants to do through him and wherever he wants him. Amen? Right? This life, this person, living out of this self, it's where you'll experience your peace that you've wanted, the peace that the world knows not. Right? Remember in the Old Testament, I will keep you in perfect peace. Shalom, shalom. I will keep you in shalom, shalom. I'll keep you in perfect peace if your mind stays on me. That perfect peace is only experienced living out of this source. Amen? All right? This is the self to love. So, I want to talk a little bit more about the unique you. Okay, this morning I want to talk about the unique you. Okay, so I want to look at a little bit of these three parts here. Your mind is your ability to think. So we have some people who are more heavy on the thinking end. Some people, emotions are my ability to feel. So we have some people who are more feelers. They're more dominant there. And my will is my ability to choose to do. And we some who are more doers. And it's not hard to figure out these three. Okay, it's really not rocket science to figure out if you're more thinker, more feeler, more doer. Now, I remember when I worked at the church out in BC, we hired certain administrators, you know, with different thinking, feeling, and doing. So we had two administrators, and I wanted to hire the first administrator who was the face of the church. So there was the first face that people were going to see coming into the church. I wanted her to have a lot of feeler. Right? Because feelers have a nice welcoming face. Okay, let me give you a hug. And thinkers like, don't give me a hug. And they go stiff as a board. Don't hug me. Don't hug me. I do not like to, I don't even know you. You might be dirty. Get it right? So thinkers, they go stiff. They don't like hugs. But feelers, oh, you give them one, they'll take 1,000 more. Right? And so I wanted a feeler. She had a very welcoming face. But the person in behind who I needed to get work done, I wanted to have a thinker-doer because thinkers are detailed. They're calculated, right? If there's 10 things to know, they will discover the 10 out of 10, right? Because they're perfectionistic, right? So I wanted somebody who is going to think through it because they'll get it done with detail, but they'll get it done well, right? That's a thinker-doer, so I hired a thinker-doer. So I remember when my wife became the administrator for Abiding Life Ministries Canada, And it was just made sense. We moved to Provost here, and so my administrator back there, we flew her out here to train Tracy, and it just wasn't going well. And I'm like, what is going on? And I got so used to my other administrator that I worked with that I forgot that my wife has a different, unique self, if you will, right? And so I would compile a list of about 25 things in here, I want you to get them done. Right? And she would go and get them done. But with my wife, because she's a multifaceted personality, right, I would give her the list and she'd be overwhelmed. And then after 2 months, I'm like, this is not working. How do you fire your wife? Right? Like how, nobody can do that. That's not going to go well. And she's probably thinking, how do I get rid of my husband? Right? And it just was not going well. And so it dawned on me. I woke up one night in a sweat because I'm like, I was really nervous. I'm like, this is not working. What do I have to do? And the Lord reminded me, she is different from your last administrator. I'm like, oh, right. So the morning we got up and I took the list and she said, what are you doing with that? I said, don't know what to worry about. I just got to look, go over it. And I wrote 2 things down. And I said, honey, could you get these 2 things done for me? She goes, absolutely. So she took those 2 things, and it went really well. Her temperament likes just a few things out of a time. Well, the thinker-doer, they'll take the big list, give it, because, oh, yeah, another notch, done, check mark, right? So understanding yourself is very important. Understanding you, because if you don't know who you are, I promise you other people will let you know who you are, and you may not like it. So we need to know who we are and maybe more specifically who we are in Christ because that's who we identify with now, right? So we really need to know ourselves. I love this verse in Psalm 139. For you created my innermost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Remember Genesis? Out of the dust of the earth, he formed our bodies, right? Right? When I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. Did you hear that last part? All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them even came to be. Do you know that God, all of us have ordained days, right? That's when I go to a country I just don't fear, because I can't escape my ordained day to exit this earth. He's ordained all my days. So that's how I got by in some of these war-torn countries and bullets whizzing over your head. I had a bulletproof backpack, you know. People are like, well, that can't be good, you know. But we don't fear, because we have a God. You can't escape it. Whether I get cancer, whether I get hit by a bus, right, where somebody shoots me, it doesn't matter. I can't escape my ordained day, because all the days ordained for me were written in your book before even one of them came to be. Amen. Right? So you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Say that with me. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. Church, I want you to believe that about yourselves. I want you to believe that you are so wonderfully made in the eyes of God, that He loves you. So many of us, we play the comparison game, right? We've all done it, right? Oh, I wish I was more smarter like him or her, right? Oh, I wish I could connect with people better like him or her. You know, we're always comparing, and you'll always lose if you compare yourself to another, because there's nobody else in the world like you. Do you know that? I've had the privilege of going to so many different countries, so many different places, so many different cultures and races, and I promise you, I've never met anybody like Jean Houston. She is one of a kind, and Jerry would agree. Right? 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 There's nobody like Lindsay. There's nobody like Rita, right? God, you, only you. There's nobody else like you, right? Now, you can't compare an apple and an orange, can you? They're two different things. No, they're part of the fruit family, but they're two different things. An apple is an apple, an orange is an orange. Now, we're all part of the same human family, right? But you're uniquely made. That's why I called the sermon title The Unique You, because you are uniquely made. God made you and designed you exactly how He wanted you to be, but with the expression of Christ through you. Amen? Right? That is the key part. If you don't express through the lens of Christ, it will be distorted, right? Like we read earlier, the three selves, right? You'll use it for your own gain, right? The businesses that I was referring to, right? So it has to be expressed through Christ. You're uniquely and wonderfully made. So here's what I wanted to tell. I never understood this verse deeper than before I had two kids. When I had two kids, I understood this deeper, because I thought that we form our personality and our temperament as we grow up in the world. That is what I thought. But then we had two kids. And Madison, when she was just a baby, right, I remember I'd come home from work and Tracy would be like, here, take her, right, so she could get supper made. And we had a door that closed from the kitchen to the living room, which she closed every time, so Madison couldn't get in there. And I would sit across this little rancher house, and it wasn't that big. I remember I could sit on the floor, and my legs would go across the full living room, right? And I'd put on my TSN and catch up on my sports. And Madison, Tracy would put her down, and she'd be on this side of me, but the toys were on this side of me. And I remember Madison would crawl up, and she'd see her toys. And then I could see her little brain going, she thought she's mapping out the route. So she'd go around me, go around the coffee table in between the couch, go and grab a toy. And then she'd go back the same way and come over here, sit by me, and play with her toy, right? Then we had Paige. Now, when we had Paige, I remember looking at Tracy and saying, this is not my kid. She was so different from Madison, so entirely different. I thought, who did you cheat me with me on? What did I do? She was so completely and utterly different, I could hardly believe it. Now, same thing. There would be Paige, right? And she'd come in, she'd sit here, and the toys would be over there. But Paige, she wouldn't go around me, she'd go through me. She'd put her head down, and she'd push and push my legs until I'd finally, and she wouldn't give up till I lifted them, then she'd go underneath. Because she knew the quickest way to the toys is through you. right? She's a doer, right? Maddie was a thinker. She calculated, right? Paige was a doer. And then she grabbed the toy, and then she'd do the same thing. She'd push on my legs till I lifted, and then she'd sit over here where the rest of them were. And we had this big, long-haired cat. Madison would get hair in her hands. She'd be like, and she'd freak out. If Tracy spilled any food on her face, she would freak out. Paige, she plopped her head right in the fluffy cat and do this, right? And she'd have hair everywhere. She just wouldn't care, right? She's so uniquely different from Madison's unique personality. Amen? Do we understand that, right? So when he says, I created you in my innermost being, in your innermost being. You knit me together in your, so let me say it. For you created my innermost being. God gave you your unique you in the womb. Did you know that? They were just babies. They hadn't even grown up yet. They already had their unique selves. I knew Maddie was a doer, or a thinker, and I knew Paige was a doer, right? She's going to get it done, right? Doers get it done. For you created, Lord, my innermost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Amen? Right? He formed you in the womb. The unique you, whether you're high on the thinker, feeler, or doer, right, was formed in the womb before you even came out. Have you ever thought of yourself, listen to this, in Zephaniah 3:17, the Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will take great, what? Delight in you. In his love, he will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing. You ever thought about that? You ever thought about God rejoicing over you with singing? Well, not if you hate yourself, right? Not if you don't like me. You'll never think about that. Because the true you is the self number three. We identify with him, the person walking in the spirit, the unique you. Now, I just want to talk a little bit about, about thinker, feeler, and doer and who you are. I want us to kind of look a little bit at that. Okay? All right. Now, secular psychologists have a complaint about Christians, about Christianity. Nietzsche discards Christianity because their complaint is that Christians teach a self-hate or to hate self, to annihilate self. But that's not what we're teaching. There's a self to deny and a self to kill, right? But there's also a self to love. That's what we're saying, right? But there is a self to love, and we should love ourselves. Did you know that God is not in the cookie-cutting business? Right? We're not a bunch of cookie cutters, right? You're uniquely made. God did not do that. Do you know one single diamond can't be formed and shaped the same? Right? We're all like diamonds. Now, if I shine a light at a prism, what happens to it? Yeah, it reflects, right? And all of us will reflect the same light of Christ in uniquely different ways, right? If you look at Jeremy on stage leading worship and me on stage leading worship, you see two different kind of things, don't you, a little bit? Right? Because God made Jeremy uniquely in that way, and he made me uniquely in my way. Amen? Right? So he is not in the cookie-cutting business. We're like this prism, and we're all meant to reflect his light. Now, let's take a look at these three people in a church setting, okay? So I wanted to talk about that, okay? We're talking about loving ourselves. Okay, so let's say we have an elders board in the church, okay? And we have a doer on the elders board, we got a thinker on the elders board, and we have a feeler on the elders board, okay? And the thinker says, you know what? We need more Bible study. We need more theological study. We need to teach doctrines, and we need to memorize scripture. We need to work these things out so to make sure we're not teaching fallacy, we're not blasphemers, right? We need to do that. And the doer says, you know what? We need to go down, pound down doors. We got to get people in the church. We got to go save the lost. Let's go. Let's go door to door. Let's not pound on those doors. And we need to be doing that. We got to get the lost saved. Let's go. Let's go. Let's get people in the church. And the feeler says, no, we need to get to know each other better. We need more prayer and share times. We should share our lives together. And we need to pray together. And we need to feast together. And we need to just enjoy each other's company together. Well, who's right? All three. But if we don't have the understanding of that, what happens? I remember talking to this pastor, and his two of his elders got into a fist fight. Right? Because the doer and the thinker were not getting along. And the feeler's like, don't fight, don't fight. Right? Right? I mean, because I have a misunderstanding of how you're uniquely made. Right? If we don't know who we are, if you don't love yourself, and if you don't know who you are, then again, I promise you other people will let you know. We need to know who we are. It is very important. And it's important to be able to love yourself. Amen? Okay. So, let's take a look at these three guys, and they're parking a car. Okay? The thinker, he knows, well, if I get here early, I'll beat everybody else and I'll get the spot closest to the doors, then I could get in and out and get to work on time. Right? He's already calculated it. Right? The feeler, they're the ones parked in the far corner in the boonies of the parking lot all the time because they're always letting people in. Oh, no, sorry, go ahead. Oh, go ahead. Oh, go ahead. And if you have a spouse who's a doer, just go in already. Right? But no, oh, no, go ahead, go ahead. Right? And so the feeler's parked in the far corner. The doer, he's the one who cuts you off. You had your blinker on to get into the spot, but he just ran in, right? So it's not hard to figure out the three different types, is there, between the thinker, feeler, and doer. What about going to get inoculation shots? Let's look at those three people, okay? You have the doer, the thinker, and the feeler, right? The thinker calls ahead of time to see if anybody died from it, right? Because he's calculated, right? He's going to go on, how did it go? Did it work out for everybody? The feeler, they're too scared to go in because that needle hurts me. I hate needles. It hurts, right? I don't want it. The doer, he grabs the needle out of the nurse's hand, sticks himself in it, gives it back, and then walks away because he just wants to get out of there and get done. Okay? It's not rocket science, right? If you think about yourself, that's what I want you to think about. Which one are you? I'll give you one last example. Let's say there's three friends, they're out with a friend, a fourth friend, we got the thinker, feel, and doer, and they're out to have a nice meal together, okay? And their friend, he started with a salad and got a piece of lettuce stuck in between his teeth, okay? The thinker's sitting there, and he's calculating, can he think to check with his tongue? Do we have to stare at this the whole meal? I can't even believe it. Or check with your tongue, I don't want to stare at this, right? The feeler, he's conflicted. Do I tell him? What if I embarrass him? Oh, what if he gets embarrassed? But I don't want him to sit there with that piece of lettuce stuck. He's really conflicted, right? Because he's all about relationship. The doer, he just takes the knife off the table, flicks it out of his teeth, puts it back on, and carries on with the conversation, right? So it's not hard to figure out which one you are, right? We need to get to know who we are because God made you fearfully and wonderfully. And if you don't know who you are, other people will convince you of who you are. Right? And then we're like a reed being blown and tossed by the wind. And we'll be like a chameleon. And we'll change to how we feel other people want us to be. And we no longer stand firm in who we are in Christ. Amen? We are people, not with a spirit of fear or timidity, right? But of love, power, and a sound mind. We know who we are. Amen? We are people of the Lord. We are people of the light. Okay. We have communion, so I'm going to end on this thought. Okay? Jeremy, if you guys want to come on up and while I finish this last point. To have the assurance of knowing who you really are, that will show up in your life. It will show up in all different areas of your life. And it doesn't matter to me if you're 8 parts thinker, 1 part feeler, 1 part doer, you still add up to 10. Or 8 parts doer, 1 part thinker, 1 part feeler, you're still a 10. In God's eyes, you're a 10. You're exactly the way he wired you to be. Amen? Don't compare yourself to anybody else. If you do, you will not love yourself. Amen? You will not love you. But God created you to be loved, right? Do you remember the story? And I'll end on this story as we go into communion. When I was walking home from the church office, do you remember I told you that story? And I was, it was a fall day, and it was when I worked here 18 years ago. And I walked home when the office was over by Hall's Foods. And I was coming down because we lived in the duplex, and I was just on the corner by the RCMP station. And I was just talking with the Lord on the way home. And I had this conversation with God. And he said, "Do you love me?" And I said, "Yes, Lord, I do." He said, "Do you know that I love you?" I said, "Yes, Lord, I know you love me." He said, "So you know I love you?" "Yes, Lord, I know you love me." He said, "Well, do you have a higher standard than me?" I said, "Well, no, Lord. Christ is the standard. Nobody could be him. Nobody can live up to that. He is the standard." "Well, if you don't have a higher standard than me and I love you, why won't you love you?" Oh, I remember it just floored me right there, and I just stopped on that corner, and I thought about that. Does God love us? Yes. Is there a self to love? Yes. It's that self number 3, and I stopped there, and I hugged myself on the corner. And I started walking home, and I said, "I love me, I love me, I love me, because he loves me. So therefore, I will love me, because he made me. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. He rejoices over me with singing. He delights in you." Amen? Because that is the you who you truly are. Right? That is your automatic. I have 2 printers in my office at home. One is called the default printer. What does that mean? It automatically goes to that one. When you wake up, you're not in the flesh. You're in the spirit. That's your new identity. Now, you can move into the flesh, right? You can move into it. But your new default, your automatic, is your new identity you have in Christ. Amen? You live out of that. You get to know this life in you. You start to live out of that. It will be hard to move you, I promise. People won't move you because you know who you are. Amen? And you love yourself. Everybody, wrap your arms around yourself right now, please. And say, "I love me. I love me because he loves me." Amen? I want us to think about that as we move into our communion. Do you need this? No? Okay. As we move into communion. And I want us to think about this, because we get to love ourselves because of what Christ did, right? Without him doing that act, we would be terribly confused and complex and complicated people. Amen? Without any victory. So I can love me because of what he did. And Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me." Remember. Remember what I did for you, what I'm doing for you, and what I will continue to do for you. Amen? It still exists today. "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you." The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he said this, "This is my body, which is for you. This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And then in the same way, after he said that, after supper, he took the cup. And he said, "This cup here, this is the new covenant." The old is gone, right? The new covenant in my blood. It was sealed by the shedding of my blood. "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you are proclaiming my death until I come for you again." Amen? We get to love ourselves today. The self, because we identify with Christ. And without him dying, his spirit couldn't come into us, right? He'd still be in a physical body. Now, I can't jump into you, can I? As I would hurt you probably, right? I'm physical. We're meant to be dwelled by the Holy Spirit. And because he died on that cross, because he allowed his body to be broken and his blood to be shed, which represents life, right? Without blood, we don't have life, right? Without that event happening, we cannot sit here in victory and in peace and have this inexpressible joy Peter talks about, right? So let's ponder that as we partake together, okay? Come up. I'll do it today. And just come on up and I'll give you bread and a cup, and then let's partake together as a family, okay? Come on up.